We're going to be in Philippians today. And last Tuesday, Brother Bray, he said, open your Bibles to Philippians, and he went on his illustration. I was thinking, what passage is he going to pick? The whole time he's giving the illustration, I'm like, what passage is he about to say? Because I already had my message planned to be from Philippians. And when he finally said Philippians chapter 3, I was like, yes, not Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. And in Africa, it's interesting. My mother and sisters, they would breed dogs and sell them. And on one occasion in particular, a person, they wanted a dog, and they lived in the capital, which is a fairly far drive, 8 hours, 7 hours, on a bad road. And so my mom got the puppy, and she got in the bus, a squished bus with a bunch of other people, holding a puppy over a hot, unair-conditioned bus, the whole drive all the way to the capital. And when she got there, called the person, they said, I changed my mind. And the title of my message today is, I Changed My Mind. But not in the negative connotation that you just heard, but changing our mind to be more like Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, this passage is often used to give a message concerning humility, which is appropriate. And I'm going to be speaking of humility today, but we see in this passage too, not only the need for humility, but the path towards becoming humble, getting humility. And what's interesting is when a person aims at being humble, when their purpose is to be humble, it doesn't come across as humble. They're trying to be humble, and it comes across as a false humility, which is, in a sense, pride. And so we see here, though, the real path to humility isn't aiming at humility, but if we go down this path, the byproduct will be humility. So if you look here in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 3, we see first the motivation. What motivates us to do what we do? Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. The motivations, why do we do what we do? And we see in this passage, it says, let nothing be done. That includes everything we do. Nothing we do should be done through strife. What is strife? Strife is striving to promote yourself. It's fighting for an advantage, trying to place yourself over other people. And it says, let nothing be done through strife. I think of James chapter 4, verse 6, that says, God resisteth the proud. We try to promote ourselves, we get the resistance of God. But in the same chapter, verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The way for promotion in many people's eyes is, I need to exalt myself above other people. But that is actually the way to get the opposition of God. The way to be lifted up is seemingly the opposite. It's to lower yourself, to humble yourself in the sight of God. And very many people today, they try to promote themselves, and the end result is that they actually do not get what they want. They get demoted by God. So we see that the motivation, not strife or vainglory. Vainglory is seeking glory for yourself. In Africa, where I'm from, there's many bad roads, and these bad roads give people an opportunity to make some money. The guys, they occasionally go on the side of the road where it's a really bad spot and they know cars are likely to get stuck. And as the car comes by and gets stuck, they'll push you out for some money. Well, another way they try to get money is they come to a spot that's relatively bad and they do road work, theoretically hoping that the cars will be happy for the improvements they're doing to the road and give them money. What's interesting is that they can be working on the same little section of road all day long and it never gets repaired. And the reason for that is because they're working while they're being seen, if they're even doing that. And their goal is to be seen by people so that they'll get money. Their goal is not to repair the road, but to be seen by people. And we need to not allow our actions to be done for the motive of being recognized by people. Our goal should not be to be recognized. On his desk in the Oval Office, President Reagan, he had a plaque that said this. It said, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he does not mind who gets the credit. And we need to have that mentality where we are not doing what we do for the purpose of getting credit, but we're doing it for the glory of God, for the sake of God, not for the glorification of ourself. It's interesting if you ever worked in a group of guys and you're working along and all of a sudden one of the guys, person he's interested in, shows up. All of a sudden, it seems like that guy has a different work ethic. His girlfriend shows up, you've been working in the group of guys, and all of a sudden, this one guy now just suddenly got a different work ethic. And it's because someone else is watching. Well, we have God watching us all the time, and our motive for doing what we do should be to glorify God, not people. I think of also a story I heard of a lady in Charlotte, not far away from here. She was trying to make the world record, and she did end up getting the world record, but she was trying to get 10 million points on a certain video game. And so she had 7.5 million points at this point, which was already the world record. She'd been playing for 14 hours, and she had her fiancé call the news so that they can come and record her making 10 million points, the world record. And as the news crew showed up, they started setting up their cameras and everything, and the lady's still going at her game, playing her game, and all of a sudden the screen goes black. And what happened was, in setting up the news media, they unplugged the game to plug in the cameras. And we see that seeking glory is often the same route that leads to our downfall. And the motivation for what we do needs to not be to seek glory. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips." We need to not be seeking glory for ourselves, but we need to be trying to glorify God. That is our purpose. So we see in verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." So our motivation, not seeking, not for strife, not self-promotion, not for glory, but helping others, valuing others over ourselves. And we need to judge our own motives, whether our motives are what they should be for what we're doing. It's interesting that so often we judge other people's motives. We see other people doing something, we say, yeah, we know why they're doing that. But we need to judge our own motives. Why do we do what we do? So we see first, the motivation. Look at, if you would, with me at verse 4. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." The second thing I want us to see today is the mission. What is our mission on this earth? It says, "Look not every man on his own things." Our mission is not self-fulfillment. It's not the American dream. Our mission is not to make money. I'm not saying making money is wrong, but our mission on this earth is not to accomplish our own desires, but it is to help others. Help others. I think of a mother. She gets a phone call from her son, and the son says, "Hey, mother, guess what? I just met the girl of my dreams." And the mother says, "That's great. What you should do is you should send her some flowers and invite her over to your apartment for a home-cooked meal." And so the day after, when the event was supposed to happen, the mother calls back the son and says, "How did it go?" And he says, "It was terrible. It was a disaster." And the mother says, "What happened? Did she not show up or what?" And he says, "Yes, she showed up, but she refused to cook." I mean, think of the selfishness of people. But our purpose on this world is not to promote ourselves, to fulfill our own desires, but is to help other people. And that is our purpose in this world, is to help other people. And what do other people need? I think of the primary need of other people is the gospel. People need to hear how they can escape eternal condemnation, eternal judgment, and how they can be saved. And we have a lost and dying world out there who needs to hear the gospel, and we are responsible for sharing that with them. And so the first primary need of other people is the gospel. And then there's just other needs that they have all throughout the day, other things. I think of the Corinthian church. Paul, he rebuked them because they're coming for the Lord's table, and here are people that are so focused on themselves that they're eating and basically being gluttons while there are others who have no food. And we need to concern ourselves with what's going on in other people's lives. And I'm not meaning being busybodies and other things like that, but it's so often we can get so wrapped up in our own lives and what's going on in our own lives that we miss what's happening in other people's lives. And so the mission is not ourselves, but others. We need to be helping others. And I want us to see last, the mind. The mind. Look, if you would, with me at verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The mind. We see in this verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. How should we think? What should our mind be? And if you jump back up with me at verse 2, look at verse 2, the end of verse 2, it says, being of one accord, of one mind. Even at the beginning, it says, be ye like-minded. And it's interesting because unity is a topic that we see a lot in the Bible, how to have unity. And the key to unity is not that we all get together and we come up with an agreement on what we're going to agree about. The key to unity, biblical unity, is that we have one mind, and that mind is Christ's mind. That we're unified in the like mind of Christ. And so in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The key to unity is for us to think like Christ. And we see in this passage that Christ was humble and he was obedient. But I think that we can get the whole package if we just learn to think like Christ. How do we think like Christ? If we can think like Christ, then we would act more like Christ. And that is, I think, the thrust of this passage, the thrust of humility. How can we be humble? It's not striving towards humility, but it is thinking like Christ. And what's interesting is the more we know about Christ, the more we will be like Christ. Phillip Brooks said this. There's people he didn't say this, I'm about to give the quote, but there are people who think that humility is lowering themselves really far down, and that's going to be humility. Phillip Brooks, he said this, the true way to be humble is not to stoop until you are smaller than yourself, but to stand at your real height against some higher nature that will show you the real smallness of your greatness. And if we can learn more about Christ, get to know Christ, so we can have the mind of Christ, we will realize how much lower we are than Christ. That will result in humility. The real path towards humility is not striving to be humble, it's not lowering yourself, talking bad about yourself, diminishing yourself. It is getting to know Christ. And as Garrison said just a moment ago, getting to know Christ, it's through his word, it's spending time with him that we get to know Christ. It's studying his word. And how do you get to know anyone? Spending time with them. And we need to spend time with Christ and get to know Christ by praying to him, studying his word, letting him speak to us. And it's interesting, spiritual growth is a term that we throw around. What's spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is not growing more in your knowledge of the Bible. Spiritual growth is growing more in your relationship with Christ. And there are many people who try to subsidize one for the other. They think that if they take in more Bible knowledge, then they're more spiritual. But in reality, taking in Bible knowledge without knowing Christ only results in pride. It only results in pride. And we need to have a relationship with Christ. It's like you want to be a bodybuilder and you're going to sit around and eat chicken all day, and you're never going to exercise. What's that going to result in? You're going to be fat. And we need to spend time in God's word, but we need to exercise it in getting to know Christ and having a relationship with him. So, title of my message, I changed my mind. We need to have a changed mind. We need to have a mind like Christ. And I think that this is wonderfully exemplified in the life of Paul. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10 said, for I am the least of the apostles, and not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. It's interesting, Paul here, he says that he is the least of the apostles. He says that he didn't put himself higher than any other apostles. He wrote the majority of the New Testament, but he considered himself the least of the apostles. And why was that? Because in the verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15, 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He recognized that his position, everything he had, came to him by the grace of God. It wasn't his own efforts, it wasn't his own goodness that got him to what he was, but it was the grace of God. And if you today cannot say that you are what you are by the grace of God, then I'll say plainly, what you are needs to change. What we need to be needs to be by the grace of God. And if we are what we are by the grace of God, then what have we to be proud of? It's God's grace that gave it to us. And so we need to realize that we need to get to know Christ, and this will result in this type of thinking. What's interesting to me is that the more Paul got to know Christ, later on in his life, in Ephesians 3:8, he says this. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Later on in his life, he mentions here again that the grace of God was given to him, and here he calls himself the least of all saints. First, he called himself the least of the apostles. Later on in his life, he comes to the conclusion that he is the least of all saints. The more he got to know Christ, the greater that he saw Christ, the lower he became in his own opinion. And at this point, he's the least of all saints. Later on in his life, 1 Timothy 1:15, he says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." As he continued to grow in his relationship with Christ, he continued to have a lower opinion of himself. Here he sees himself as the chief of all sinners. And we need to have a relationship with Christ. This passage is correctly used for talking about humility. But how do we become humble? It's not by thinking bad of ourselves, demoting ourselves, all that, but it is by knowing Christ. As Garrison said, this Bible, the Word of God, that is how we get to know Christ. We have to spend time with Him. And so many today, they have the wrong motive. They're trying to promote themselves. They want to exalt themselves. And God's Word says that they will be demoted. They have the wrong mission. It's focused on themselves. They want to get what they can get the American dream, have a lot of cars, have a pleasurable life, live a life of ease. But the correct mission is focused on others. And all this will be a byproduct, the humility that's required for to have that right motive, that's required to have that right mission, is all a byproduct of getting to know Christ. So what do we need to do today? We need to strive to know Christ more. The more we know Christ, the more humble we will be.